Our children can come to the front for a children's search the scripture question. Let's see what we got today. What does the Bible say about the angel Gabriel? Do you know what it says about Gabriel? An archangel? It does say that. Do we know where it says that?
He went to Mary.
He went to Mary? Let's go back to see where he went to Mary. Is that in Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we have Gabriel, who is an angel, an archangel, which means one of the highest of the angels. And he came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel, Gabriel, said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So this is the promise that God gave to Mary by way of the archangel Gabriel, who told her that she was going to be bearing Jesus, and that Jesus is the Son of God. Mary said, "How will this take place, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We have Gabriel actually showing up prior to that to give an announcement to whom? We've already heard the announcement to Mary. Who was it before that? What?
Joseph.
Joseph's going to be later in a different account. This is actually to the father of John the Baptist. So here's what we read back in Luke chapter 1, well, verse 8. We're talking about Zechariah is this priest's name. And when he was serving as priest of God, before God, his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood. He was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So he's in the holy place, and all of a sudden this angel shows up. And who was that angel? Gabriel, we're about to find out. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. Do you think you'd be afraid if all of a sudden an angel showed up? Yeah, I think so. And he was troubled, and he said, if fear fell on him, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." That's going to be John the Baptist. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." And then we get down to verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." And then there was more exchange after that. So Gabriel is an angel that stands in the presence of God, an archangel, one of the highest angels, and we would expect that because, after all, we would expect one of the highest of angels to give the announcement that Jesus was going to be born incarnate, meaning in a human body, and that was what happened at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. So the Bible tells us that Gabriel was an archangel of God whom God entrusted to deliver the important announcement first of the birth of John the Baptist, who was going to be the prophet who foretold the coming of Jesus immediately prior to Jesus showing up. And then we have Gabriel also saying to Mary that she is going to be the one who bears the baby Jesus to bring into the world God with us, God Emmanuel. Well, let's pray together. Thank you, God, for letting us see in the scriptures who Gabriel is. And we know sometimes we know folks with the name Gabriel. We even have a young man in our church with the name Gabriel, and we rejoice that this is such a wonderful name because it reflects on your great glory, because Gabriel was the angel whom you created to give this special announcement. Lord, help each of us to be like Zechariah was, to trust in you, or like Mary, to say, I am your servant and I will do what you want me to do. We know that we won't likely see any angels this side of glory, but we expect to see angels in glory, and we will glorify you in the meantime with all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We will try to get through one more search the scriptures question. If you have already trusted Christ as Savior, why is it important to be baptized? Well, I think I just covered that, but let's go back to Matthew 28 and we'll repeat that one. If you have already trusted Christ as Savior, why is it important to be baptized? And interesting that it's phrased this way. It almost leaves the impression that if you have not already trusted Christ as Savior, that it's more important to be baptized. And that doesn't work for reasons that I'll shortly share. But let's go to our Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. So this is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And these are the words that Jesus gave to his disciples at the very close of the time that he was here on earth, after his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven. Verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, a commission, when we use the expression commission, one of the ways that we use that is in order to communicate that someone has received a responsibility. They have been commissioned to do a job. So having been commissioned now, they will go and fulfill their obligations. This is referenced as the Great Commission. And it is spoken to Jesus disciples. We could say his apostles. At this point, this was more than just the apostles, because there would have been a crowd gathered there. According to the scriptures, there may have been as many as 500 that were there at this point. This was right prior to his ascension. So we have all of these disciples who are gathered, and Jesus is speaking to them, and he gives them this commission. So to all of those in the first century who heard these words, Jesus gives these instructions. Oftentimes in the English language, we have a tendency to use the first word of verse 19. In the ESV, it's go, and say that's the commission that God has given us. It's really not the best way to translate this particular Greek phrase. Literally, the expression is as you are going. So go is not the action word here. The action word is make disciples. So the Great Commission involves, number one, make disciples. Now, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. To make a disciple means that I share with you about who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is God who became man in flesh, dwelt among us. He is God, the sinless one, who died on the cross in order to pay for our sins. He is the one who was buried and was raised after 3 days in proof that the Father had accepted the sacrifice of the Son and the payment for the sins of all mankind. He is the only way to heaven. When I share that good news with others, that's the gospel, the good news, and somebody else says, I too want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then I have made a disciple. Now, technically, God's the one who's done it, but using the terminology that Jesus gave us here, our responsibility, our commission is to take the gospel message so that others might also become disciples. Go, in other words, as you are going, meaning this is the way our life is to be conducted. This is not a command just for a few people to become pastors or missionaries. This is instructions given to all of God's people that were gathered there. Go and make disciples of all nations. The second part of that commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's also a part of this commission. Make disciples, baptize them. And the third part, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, he says, and let's just take the immediate core group of apostles in the first century. So we have Peter and James and John, the 11 disciples. Judas is already gone. These 11, and let's just say he's talking to these 11, and he says to them, I want you, as you're going, to make disciples. I want you to baptize those disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I want you to teach them everything that I have commanded you. Now, what did he just command them to do? He commanded them to go and make disciples and to baptize those disciples and to teach those disciples everything he commanded them, which means that the second generation, those who are following the apostles, are now going to be told that Jesus' command to them is to make sure that the second generation knows that it is their responsibility, it is their commission to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that Jesus said. Now the second generation is holding that commission. And their responsibility is to bring a third generation in. And that is going to continue down the line and is true for us here today. All of us have accepted Jesus Christ because somebody fulfilled the Great Commission. Somebody shared the good news with us, and we, in response, received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you have done that. And we, I'm trusting, have followed the instructions that were passed on in Jesus' first Great Commission in Matthew 28. The second part of that commission was to do what? Be baptized. Be baptized. Here's the question. If you've already trusted Christ as Savior, why is it important to be baptized? Because Jesus said to. Do you need anything else? I mean, that's it, isn't it? If Jesus said to do it, then we ought to do it. Now, I know that probably the implication behind this question would be, if baptism is not essential for salvation, then why do I have to be baptized if I've already become a Christian? And I would answer that to say, if you are a Christian, baptism is not essential for salvation, but it is essential for obedience. So what are you going to be? An obedient Christian or a disobedient Christian? A disobedient Christian has got a lot of issues right from the get-go. Because if you're telling me that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but you're also telling me you're not going to follow this particular command, then I have reason to doubt whether or not you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ. You say you are, but then when you say you need to be baptized, I don't think so. Well, what else are you disobeying Jesus about? Jesus has given us a whole lot of commands. The Great Commission includes these three. But if you're not following this particular one, what else are you not following? And my guess is quite a bit. So is it important for you to be baptized? Yes, if you want to be an obedient Christian. Is it possible for you to be a Christian because you've trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord and not be baptized and still get to heaven? Absolutely, because baptism is not a ticket to heaven. Matter of fact, there's whole branches of the Christian faith that baptize their babies in hopes that that's going to get them into heaven, and that won't get them into heaven. You have to be a follower of Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. The issue of what happens to little babies is another question. But nonetheless, you have to be a follower of Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. Baptism does not get you into heaven. So yes, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you die without being baptized, you still get to heaven. As a matter of fact, we can see many examples of that. Most specifically, we look at the example of the thief on the cross. We know he wasn't baptized because he died while he was on the cross. But he's trusted in Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So we know baptism is not essential in order to get to heaven. But baptism is essential in order to be an obedient Christian. With that being said, perhaps you noticed in the announcements that were made earlier and in your bulletins that we've got a baptism service being planned. And if you have not yet been baptized, my question to you right now is, why not? That's what a Christian's supposed to do. That's my responsibility to teach you. You need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you need to be baptized. And it doesn't stop there, because the rest of the Great Commission says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So it's also my responsibility, not just to teach you how to become a Christian, but to tell you all the things that God wants you to do as a Christian. That includes baptism, but it's not limited to that. There's a host of things that we need to be doing, and it's my responsibility to teach that to you so that you can be living an obedient Christian life. And by the way, think about this Great Commission again, because this is something that is passed on from one to the next as we pass Christ's commission on to each one. Every one of us as a parent are commissioned to bring up our children according to these instructions. In other words, we're commissioned by Jesus to teach our children what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and to encourage our children to follow Jesus with their whole hearts, to be baptized, and to learn everything that Jesus has taught, just as we're supposed to be learning. So if you take this position about child rearing, that you're letting your kids make your own decision, you will stand before God in judgment for that. That is so worldly. That is of the devil. Do not leave your kids to make their own decision about religion. You bring them up in the truth of Scripture and tell them what God says and what God expects. Otherwise, that's on your head. Okay, well, I could keep going, but I'm not going to. That's why it's important to be baptized. Does that answer that question? Yes. I trust that it does. I get a little hot under collar about that. So if you're interested in being baptized, call the church office. Talk to Miss Walker or myself, especially if we have any children who are interested in being baptized, because we're going to, you don't just tell us that, we're going to sit down together, because I want to hear about your faith in Jesus Christ. This sequence is important. You first become a follower of Jesus Christ, and then you get baptized. We call that believer's baptism. So for everyone who's baptized here at Perum Community Church, we make sure they've gone through a short instructional time where we inform you about what the Bible says about baptism and why we do it, and it needs to start with genuine faith. So I'm not going to baptize somebody who has not expressed faith in Jesus Christ. First faith, then baptism, and then continue to learn all the things that God has told us. We do that here because you're sitting in a church with a pastor whose primary gift is teaching. So you get taught regularly from the pulpit. I don't just preach, I teach. However, we also have other opportunities for learning in our Bible studies that are taking place, women's Bible studies, men's Bible studies, mixed Bible studies, our discipleship class. All of these are learning opportunities that are helping us fulfill the third aspect of the Great Commission. And that is to teach those who are learning to be followers of Jesus Christ everything that Christ commanded us to do. So if you're not involved in that, I'm not going to stop with just chastising you about not being baptized. I'm also going to say you ought to be involved in a Bible study, because that's your responsibility. Unless, of course, you already have all the answers. Anybody want to raise your hand? I didn't think so. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your holy word, and that in it we have everything that we need for life and godliness because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that this is your word to us, that you have instructed us here. We thank you for the Great Commission, and we recognize that every one of us have been commissioned. If we are followers of Christ, we have been commissioned by Jesus to live a life that is honoring to you, to bring others to know Jesus Christ, to see that those others understand the importance of baptism, and to teach them all the ways that they should go. Help us, Lord, to all fit into that Great Commission where we belong. Help us to live accordingly. I pray that if there are any here today who have never received Christ as Savior, that today they would understand the need to receive Him, because there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. So help us to live that kind of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me conclude by reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Amen and God bless.